Well, if you have your Bible open at Luke chapter 5, you may find that useful as we turn to these verses of Scripture and see what the Lord would have to say to us today from this portion of His Word. Anyone learning a language, one of the first things they have to do is to learn the alphabet. You may have been taught a song when you were at primary school, as I was taught a song when we were learning our alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M. You maybe sang it better than I did, but that song is stuck in my head, and then you had to sing it backwards maybe. But the teacher was trying from the earliest days to get into your head the very basics, the ABC as we talk about. And you have to learn your ABC before you can progress on to something more. But what we might ask is the ABC of the kingdom of God. We've been tracking through Luke's gospel, and we come today to Luke chapter 5. And Jesus has had various interactions with people, but now as he meets with this man, Peter, this fisherman, Peter, he's teaching Peter what is the ABC of the kingdom of God. How do you come into the kingdom of God? Really important that you get in, but how do you get in? Jesus has said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. But what does that mean in practice? What does that mean in terms of an individual's life? How can you see through the jargon, the terms, and how can you actually get a lesson in terms of something tangible and something that works for you and that applies to your life? And Jesus here, as he teaches in these 11 verses, is teaching on faith. What exactly is faith? Lots of people say they've got faith. Well, we've got great faith, they say. Or I haven't got very much faith. But most people would say they have faith. So what does it mean to have faith? And here it seems to me in Luke chapter 5, we have the ABC of faith. And Jesus sets it out quite straightforwardly. And I want just to take ABC and think what each of those words might mean today as we apply them to this passage of Scripture. First of all, A is for admit. Admit that without Jesus you are nothing, and without Jesus you have nothing. Jesus said to Peter in verse 4, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Peter's nets are empty. He's been fishing on Lake Galilee. It was about 12 miles long, 5 miles wide, a substantial lake. He's been fishing all night. The nets are empty. His hands are empty. His boat is empty. His pocket is empty because he hasn't been able to sell any fish. And so he stands before Christ empty. And here we have a picture of what it is to be a sinner in the eyes of a holy God. The hymn writer puts it like this, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I stand with nothing before God. I remember in school days, the shock going round my class that there were some exams. I can't remember what exams it was in secondary school, but some of the guys had got zero. Some of the guys had got, it's always the guys, isn't it? Single figures. The pass mark was 40%. The others had got maybe 35, 36, 37. They kind of prided themselves that at least they weren't in single figures. But everybody under 40 had failed. Whether you got zero or whether you got 39, you had failed. All had fallen short. All had missed the pass mark. And that's what Peter has to say to Jesus here. When Jesus says to him, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch, he has to say, Lord, I have nothing. I've been toiling all night. I've fallen short. I've failed. And this is the hard thing that we have to learn to do before we can come into the kingdom of God. We have to learn to say to God, Lord, in myself I have nothing, and in myself I am nothing. I'm a failure. My life falls short of the glory of God. It's not the way I want it to be, and it's certainly not the way you would want my life to be, Lord. If I compare my life to the Ten Commandments, you don't judge your life by the person beside you or somebody, you say, well, I'm not as bad as him or as not as bad as her. You compare yourself to God's word in the Ten Commandments. And when you do that, you realize that you're empty. Your life doesn't match up. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And before anyone can come into the kingdom of God, they must realize that. We can't justify ourselves. People will say things like, well, I'm a good person. I never do anybody any harm. I'm good to my neighbors. I bring up my family well. Those things are good, but it's people trying to justify themselves. Peter, standing before Christ here empty-handed, is showing to you and showing to me what it means to come into the kingdom of God. We have to confess. We have to stop bluffing. Our lives fall short of the glory of God. A, for admit. B, for believe, because Jesus gave him a word. Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Just a word. And Peter points out, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. The sense being, well, what's the point in going out again? We're tired, we're hungry, we've labored all night. And remember, in those days, you had no engine to drive you out into the middle of the lake. You had rowed out into the middle of the lake, or maybe used the sail. But it was hard work. And now they've come back again, they're disappointed, they're tired, they're hungry, they're ready for bed. And Jesus says, put out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch, Peter, for a catch. But Peter's saying to Jesus, well, what's the point? We've been out all night, now the sun's up, the fish go down into the depths. Fishing was done at nighttime when the fish came up to feed, but during the daytime, the fish headed down into the cool depths. So why would a fisherman bother to go out again? And maybe others were watching, and the other men were watching this conversation. Remember, Jesus had been preaching here at the water's edge, and maybe they were nudging each other. Look, he's talking to the preacher. Peter didn't really want to go out again, maybe, because the men would have been watching or sniggering or laughing. Well, the reason why this fisherman should go out again was because Jesus Christ had told him to go out again. And do notice that from what Christ says here, this was not a suggestion. This was not a hint. This was not a proposition for discussion or for debate. Jesus just says to him, put it into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. This was an order. And was Peter going to obey or was Peter going to disobey that order? We think today about the army. We think about the commands and the armed forces and the way in which if an officer gives you an order, you have to obey it. Your captain gives you an order, you have to do what he says, or else you're up for insubordination, you're up for trouble. Well, here is the master of the universe speaking. Put it into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Are you going to obey him? Believe him? And let me say this to you, that the kingdom of God is not some take it or leave it offer to be debated and weighed up at your leisure. That was the problem in the city of Athens when Paul went to preach in Athens. The great philosophers in Athens loved to sit around all day and philosophize and talk and debate. And it depends on this and it depends on that. Well, maybe this or maybe that. And Paul just cut through it all and he said, the times of ignorance God has overlooked. Now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Have you repented or have you not repented? You see, the kingdom of God does not just leave you wanting to debate and discuss and talk. Some people, they'll talk until the cows come home and they'll talk until the cows go back out into the fields again and they'll still be talking. But the kingdom of God demands a verdict. When Christ commands, do you believe or do you not? Hebrews 1 says, long ago at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things and through whom he created the world. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus at the lake that day, people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And Jesus had asked Peter to put the boat out a little bit from shore, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Jesus came as a preacher. The kingdom of God is extended through preaching of God's word, and Jesus came as a preacher. The miracles were just kind of, they were stamps of approval upon Jesus. He hadn't come to do miracles. He'd come to preach the gospel, the good news. That is why I've come. And the people were crowding in to hear the word of God in the flesh. And Peter here has been given the word, put out in the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And he has to now believe it. But does he? Do you? Do you believe God's word as it comes to you? The third thing here, admit that without Christ you are nothing and you have nothing. You're just a sinner. B, believe the word of God as it comes to you, as it's preached to you. C, comply with it. When they had done so, verse 6, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Peter had never experienced anything like this before. Here was a catch that was so great that it filled two fishing boats. But what did it say about the Lord Jesus Christ? Did it not say that here was someone who was Lord of the fish? Just as in the Old Testament, whenever the plagues through Moses came and God sent those plagues, the frogs came, the insects came, the locusts came, because God is the Lord of the animal kingdom. He's the Lord of the insects. He's the Lord of the fish. He's the Lord of the birds. He's the Lord of the animals. And Peter here calls him Master. He is the Master. And clearly Christ demonstrates it by sending Peter out at a time when fish aren't usually caught, and he catches so much that two boatfuls, the boats are even beginning to sink. But you know, the good thing about this is that this indicates that when you comply with God's word, good things happen. I love the 23rd Psalm. It's sometimes called the Shepherd's Psalm, where the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the last verse says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And someone has said it's like a shepherd with two sheepdogs. One's called goodness, and one's called mercy. And the dogs are following him all the days of his life. When you follow Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. You may not have money. You may not be fabulously wealthy and rich and successful in the world's terms, but the richness of God will be yours. The forgiveness of your sins, past, present, and future. The peace of God that passes understanding. The family of God will become yours. The inner dwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Psalm 34 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all." The deliverance of God will be yours as well. And these good things are just piling into Peter's life as he complies with God's word. And if you comply with God's word, you too will discover that your nets are no longer empty, but that God has good things, untold blessing to give you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And as we finish today, there's maybe a strange postscript to this story. For with two full boats, you'd expect Peter to be rubbing his hands and thinking, "Boy's a dear, I'm going to get some money today in the market." But his reaction is not like that. Verse 8, when he saw the boats beginning to sink, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Why did he react like that? "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." I would guess He had heard bits and pieces of the sermon that Jesus had been preaching from his boat a few minutes before, but he maybe hadn't paid much attention to it. But now as Christ comes personally to his life, he becomes aware of his sin. This is ABC again. I'm saying putting your faith into Christ and into his word alone is the means of entering the kingdom of heaven, but it also comes through awareness of your sin. And Peter says, I am a sinful man. He doesn't deserve what Christ has done for him, and he didn't. But Christ had done it anyway. Because Jesus says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Why Peter? Why not one of the other fishermen? Well, why not Peter? This was the grace of God. Why you? Why me? Well, why not you or why not me? Because it's the grace of God. It's all of grace, the free, sovereign, electing grace of God. And Jesus stands in front of Peter, and Peter says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish, and so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. But notice Jesus did not say to Peter, well, just you stay down there in the dust. Yes, to be aware of your sin is to be aware you're in the dust. But then Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Peter, all his life, was used to catching live fish and letting them die. Now he's going to catch dead men and see them live by the power of Christ. Because Jesus had a job of work for him to do. And every believer is called to work for the Lord, to witness for the Lord, to say a little word along the way for the Lord. Because every believer is part of the body of Christ. Some of us are really good at it. Some of us are really poor at it. Some of us are in the middle. Some of us don't even try. But Jesus says here, from now on, you will catch men. Jesus had a vision for what Peter could become. And I love that about the Lord. He never leaves us where we are. He has a vision for what we can become. Men of God, women of God, young people who serve God. He never leaves us where we are. He takes us out of our sin and he takes us out of our brokenness and our fallenness, and he makes us what he wants us to become. Sometimes people have I've seen a piece of wood taken from a bog in Ireland. And a craftsman has gone to work on that piece of wood. To you and to me, it just looks like a bit of black wood that's been lying in the bog for hundreds of years. And a craftsman has worked it and turned it into maybe a bird, maybe an animal. But the craftsman, as he has worked on that piece of wood, has been able to transform it. And that's what Christ does with a human life. He takes the sinner and he makes him into a saint. He takes what is lost and he makes it found. He takes what is in the depths and he sets it on the heights. Wonder what plans Christ has for your life. For no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but only if you put your faith into him. Only if you trust his word and believe his word, and God will reveal it to you by his Spirit. Today we're thinking about kingdom ABC. Admit, believe, and comply with God's word. Because Jesus Christ is the master of the universe. He's not some tin pot god or some little idol that's kept on a shelf somewhere or other. He is the master of the kingdom of the world. And he calls you and he calls me. And he says, come follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. I will make you serve me. And what a joy to serve this master. But only if you believe and only if you say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to be? And who knows what you can do for God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel and how, Father, it is able to transform lives like Peter's. We thank you, Father, for this encounter with Jesus and Peter on the Galilean seashore. And we thank you, Father, for how this man's life was turned around for the good. And still today, Jesus Christ does exactly the same. Lord, we thank you that he is the Master, that he is the Lord, that he is the King of Kings. And we thank you that to this day, the kingdom of God is entered by faith and by faith alone. Help us, we pray, Lord, to serve him, to know him, and Father, to follow him. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.